Thank you, guys. Good to be here. Wow, this is a full house. Hey, y'all snuck in behind me when I was sitting there. Yeah. Amen. Wow, this is good. Can we go to Colossians? I'm gonna actually try to read my Bible and stay put. It's not gonna work well, but I'm gonna try. No, it might work. I have something on my heart. I'm gonna be real simple and sweet with you this morning and short. Up until you know who Jesus is, you have no hope for your identity other than whatever you've come to believe about your life through your life. It's just true. Up until you know Jesus, you don't have any other option. You just kind of evolve through life to think, this is who I am, this is the kind of person I am, this is... You have to understand that when Jesus comes, you don't want to bring that assessment that you came to before Jesus into new life. New life comes through Jesus Christ. So we've all been on this identity search. We don't realize it. We don't intentionally think about it. But the truth is that when Adam sinned, everything he was created to be got lost through sin. So Adam lost himself through sin and separation from God. Follow me here. This is really important. Adam lost who he was. Who he was created to be got lost through sin and separation from God. God said, the day you eat the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, is the day you surely die. But he didn't fall over dead. So we say, well, what died? And people just say, well, he died spiritually. But we don't really know what that means. You got to think about what that means. He died spiritually. He died to everything he was created to be. Like the image of God got lost. The nature of God got lost. Selflessness got lost. The love of God got lost. His purpose, the reason for being, was all lost. Everything God intended him to be right out of the gate died through sin, and Adam became a god unto himself, got separated from God, who is the source of love. So Adam, instead of being love and the expression of God, became in need of love and was cut off from God. That's a sad scenario. That all happened in a moment called sin. The Bible teaches that every man since that day was born into Adam. Come on. Let's think about this thing. Why is this big push? You know, we just on the surface say, hey, everybody got to get born again. And we think they're saying everybody got to pray this prayer so they can go to heaven. I'm not sure how we got there. It makes me want to cry right now that all we tell people is, hey, you got to pray this prayer so you can go to heaven. And we don't even understand that we were so much more in the beginning. We have potential and purpose and destiny, and God is with us and wants to live in us. And you don't have to stay the same. You don't have to be so limited and subject to the flesh. You don't have to think evil and live evil and produce evil. You can walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and live by the Spirit. Come on, we've just sold so cheap. And we've made this thing all about us getting something instead of becoming something. I'm sorry, I didn't even have all this on me a minute ago. I don't know what's happening to me. You guys messed me up. It's your fault. I'm blaming it on you. It's Redemption House. You take the blame. Heaven will be happy to let you take it. He's crying out through my heart. I can feel it. I just want to go cry right now. I feel like I want to just go cry. We get up and said, we're reaching for the sun. I just sat there. I'm holding that little girl. She's sleeping. I was crying like a baby. I was fighting it, but I was crying like a baby, and I could have just lost it. It was sketchy for me. I was like, God, I'm about ready to do the fetal position thing. I need a room. I was holding it. I was fighting it. It's tearing me up and reaching for the sun. We don't understand from the time Adam sinned, we were cut off from God, but there's this thing down inside every man. There's... Every man since that day was born into Adam. We were born into no identity, guys. Not one of us had a clue who we were. From the time you can remember, from little tiny child where you can, as far back as you can remember, you had so many needs in your life. You needed loved and valued and stability and support. You needed all those things. And unfortunately for many of us, many of those things weren't in place. Many of those things weren't here. The people that we were depending on had the same needs. The people we were counting on had the same letdowns and hurts and issues and insecurities. Why? Because everybody was born into Adam. Unfortunately, for generations, we've preached this gospel just a peace. We just preached a peace. And we pray the prayer and we get ourselves in our conscience secure that if the trumpet blows, we're in the book and we're happy about that. But in some cases, a lot of things haven't even changed. That we still have the same needs and the same letdowns and the same hurts and the same vacuums. And when I read my Bible, he is so much more. He said just one drink. He said he's living water, and just one drink out of him, you will never, ever thirst again. One drink. That just means you partake of him and who he is, and you find yourself in him and your home. And the striving is over, and the search is over, and the lie is over. You come into the light and you're home. Just one drink and you find who you've always been. And who you think you were dies through that drink. I'm telling you, this is the way it's supposed to be. You can only find who you are through him. You can't find through your friends. You can't find who you are through your family. Jesus is extreme, man. He says, who is my mother? Who is my brothers, my sisters? The family, they think he's loco, man. He's just preaching and trying to preach, and people are following him. He's just nonstop all day freedom fest every day. All day, every day. And his family came to get him. They said, you need a break, dude. You're freaking out. You need to chill. They said, hey, your mom, your brothers, your sisters out here. He says, who are they? He wasn't being dishonorable. He's not saying, I don't understand family. He's just saying, who are they? They're coming for wrong reasons. They don't understand. They're just being sentimental. Who is my family? He who does the will of my father. That is my mother, my brothers, my sister. He said, unless you love less, everything that you say is the dearest to you. Mom, dad, spouse, children, houses, land. You'll by no means ever be my disciple. That's Jesus talking. That ain't my sermon. He said, you'll by no means be a wholehearted follower, a disciplined learner, unless that list is loved less than why you're here and who you are in me. Why? Because some on that list will sentimentally get in the way. Now you even have issues with God because he didn't protect, and issues with God because he didn't watch over, and issues with God because he didn't provide. And all of a sudden you give yourself away. You never understood covenant in the first place. You came to God for what you could get out of him, and you don't think he pulled through. You didn't come to God to be one with him. You came to God to get something from him, not become something because of it. And that's a trap. And unfortunately, and I apologize, many of us have preached the gospel that way our whole lives in ministries, and just preached it in a way that serves men instead of challenges them for change. Come on. Adam got separated from God. We were born into Adam, folks. Not one of us in this room had a clue who we were. And if you haven't found yourself through Jesus, and you're still trying to find yourself through friends and family and social media, you're still insecure and you still need your parent to say something and make up for something that they didn't say while you were growing up and all that stuff, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. It'd be great if your daddy would say, I love you, but he doesn't have to say, I love you, for you to be free. I wish he said, I love you. I wish he was free enough to see love. You say, well, they wasn't never there for me. You're trying to still grab for the surface reality and make something happen and make up for lost time. No, you redeem the time. You don't let more time go by trying to make up for lost time. Man, that's a good word. That was good. That was the Lord. That was the Lord. Don't we do it? 5 years later, it's even worse because now it's 20 years instead of 15. And the whole time we could have been shining and living Jesus and fulfilled in Christ. And instead of resenting our parent, actually loving and feeling sorry for our parent and crying in prayer for our parent, instead of crying to God, help, you got to make it, please let him bless me, let him accept me, please God, let him call me one of these days. And the whole time you're waiting and looking and you're being let down every day and you're wondering why your prayer ain't working and you're on a wrong pursuit. The whole time those people pastors talking about are walking by you. The whole time there's people all around you that need what he paid to put inside of you. But you ain't looking for that. You're just looking for a temporal word and blessing and a makeup for lost time. And now you're losing all your time. Every person in this room was born into Adam. And you must be born. That is not. You got videos running, don't you? That is not a prayer that takes you to heaven. Born again is stepping into what you're here for. It's getting new life through Jesus Christ. It's putting off the old man and his deeds and putting on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. Born again. Dying to self is ambition. Dying to self-motivation, dying to self-justification, self-defense, self-consciousness, dying to yourself so that you can live unto him. It's born again. Anything less than what I'm preaching is a piece of the puzzle. Why don't we paint the picture? It's just a piece of the puzzle. When I was a child, I don't know if you guys did, but we put puzzles together. It was something we did when I was little. And we were kids. We'd lose some pieces now and then. We were so frustrated. We'd put the whole puzzle together and couldn't find like three pieces. And we just felt like, that thing ain't right. It ain't complete. Bummer. Throw it out, man. We lost three pieces. It ain't worth nothing now. Isn't it amazing how we get tricked into a piece of the truth, into a piece of the puzzle? Why don't we just make that thing complete and get all them pieces in place? So here's why I turned you to Colossians. See, I am going to try to read it. I thought I was going to, and I'm not going to fight it. I'm making sense to your heart, I can tell. See, because you were on this search, you didn't even know it. You didn't know it. You didn't have awareness. You were just on the search. So was I from the time I can remember. I go back, I don't know. My wife remembers stuff from she was like 3 and 4. It was real foggy for me. I hardly remember stuff till I was about 7, 6, 7, 8. I don't know. People have all their explanations and reasons for that. But what I'm saying is, I didn't know I was on the search for me. I didn't know I was trying to figure out me. I just know there was this guy looking through these two eyes. And I could see all of you, but I couldn't see me. And I was me. I was like this guy inside of me. You know what I'm saying? It was just me. And I could see it was all of you. And I figured you're all having that same experience. I used to think about that. But I was so insecure. I was so driven by need. Now I get it. I didn't then because it was just normal. But I would feel uncomfortable. I would feel focused on sometimes. I would feel nervous. I would feel scared. I would feel angry. I would feel bold. I was in this rat race of, I had no clue who I was and what people said and what people didn't say and how things unfolded and the way family treated me. And it all mattered so much. And I might not have intentionally thought about it, but now I see it mattered so much. Because I didn't know who I was. So I'm inadvertently finding that out along the way. And if family's not loving you, then you think you're not that lovable. And then insecurity rises up and you try to live in a certain way to get some attention or to get noticed or for somebody to say something nice. And then you're on real thin ice because if they don't respond and say something nice, now you believe your worst fears. And next thing you know, something's dying inside or curling up and crying inside. Then you got people that say they'll never hurt you, and then they do something they said they'll never do, and now you can't even trust, and now you're vulnerable. Now you're trying to self-protect, self-defend. And all of a sudden, you're just this product of life instead of the giver of it. And the whole time, this truth is waiting to overtake you. This truth is waiting to come and say, hey, I want to call you out of darkness. That realm you're trapped in is darkness. You were never created to live there. You were created to abide in me and me and you and be one with me and who I am flowing through you. So come out of darkness into the light. That's what these scriptures mean. It just doesn't mean what I don't use anymore. Our goal is not stopping the bad habits. Our goal is to become the people we were created to be and that he paid for. I go to recovery ministries all the time. I go to New Life for Girls every month still. From the year 2000, I go every month. No matter how much I travel, I'm at New Life for Girls doing their chapel. Sometimes there's 15, 12 girls. Sometimes there's 25. It didn't matter if there was one. I'm going to New Life for Girls because he gives new life. Girls, and I want to go and talk about new life. I want to go and tell them exactly who they are, because when you live in cycles, there are so many lies. When you believe lies, there's more lies, and there's just this rampant, non-stop pool of lies and people and looking in the mirror and seeing lies and believing lies and images and lies and memories and lies. And the whole time your heart's going, help, I don't want these lies. But you believe them and now you internalize them and now they rob you. And all of a sudden you think you're the lies. And when you think you're the lies, guess what you do? You live the lies. And then when you live the lies, you're sure you're the lies. Because you're living the lies. And the longer you live the lies and the more you believe the lies, your life's a lie. And the whole time, Jesus is speaking better things over you and saying, you're so much more. Come unto me. He's knocking the whole time. And the lies say, oh, I can't open now. Oh, it's too late now. Oh, I've gone too far. Oh, I had my chance. Oh, I had my three chances. Well, I knew better. Well, I did it anyway. Well, it can't be that easy. And the whole time, he's just knocking. He's just knocking. He's just knocking. He just wants you to open up and say, would you help me? I've got to be more. My life has to be more than this. We just say you're sorry, pray the prayers, you can go to heaven. It ain't about say you're sorry. It's about change the way you think. Repentance doesn't mean say you're sorry. Repentance means change the way you're thinking. So if the way you're thinking ain't producing life, repent. Amen. If the way you're thinking ain't encouraging your heart, repent. If the way you're thinking is making you more self-conscious, repent. Why? Why repent? Because the kingdom of God is here. So come out of darkness into the light and walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have koinonia, co-union and fellowship with one another, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us of all sin. It's good to see you. I didn't think you'd be here yet this morning. You hung out all weekend. Came without the family. You just snuck in. Came with a friend. Yeah. Sorry. Just catching up. Making sense?
Yes.
So we got to get born again. We good, little sound buddy? Okay. Thought you were coming to sneak up, make an adjustment. Play with my butt. A secure man can take it. I'll just... I was in an airport. I forgot my driver's license. I grabbed my wife's car and I had my driver's license in my glove box in my truck and I went, I'm in an airport with no driver's license. I said, bummer, I'm the whole way down BWI, I can't turn back. So I ran in there, I told them, they said, well, we got to pull you aside. They have a serious hotline. They ask you questions that you hardly know. And then when you answer, they already know. It's crazy. Like they were on the, they said, well, why are you traveling? Well, I'm flying into so-and-so. I'm a pastor. And they said, what's the name of your ministry? I said, Neck Ministries. This was back when I put my calendar on a schedule. And they said, what's your next two events? And I'm like, I'm living today, man. I don't even remember where I was last week. So I'm in trouble. He says, and I'm thinking, I said, Lord, help me, God, help me. I said, ooh, they knew my schedule. I was struggling. I'm asking the Holy Spirit for my schedule. They already knew my schedule. And then they said, where was the address before your current address? I'm like, that was 28 years ago. 20s. All of a sudden, it hit me, the address. As soon as I said the address, I said, oh, I got it. I gave the address. I even gave the lot number and the little B. And they said, you're good to go. So I went into security. And Joe, precious black brother, he's standing there in his TSA uniform. He's official. He comes up, Joe. He said, I'll be your TSA official here for this. He said, I got to really pat you down, my brother. I said, you do? He said, yeah, would you like a private room? I said, what are you going to do to me? I said, just what are you going to do? And Joe looked at me and he smiled and he said, well, yeah, because I acted up. I said, what are you going to do to me? I backed up. He said, well, I got to do crevice search. I said, crevice search? I said, I'll tell you what, Joe, I'm a pretty secure man. Get it on. That's just what I did. I said, get it on. He cracked up laughing. He started crevice searching. I was like, oh! 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 I looked at him. I said, Joe, I said, do you know the word of God? He said, excuse me, sir? I said, do you know the word of God? Because right now this looks like scripture. He said, what? I said, Abraham knew Sarah. Joe knew Dan. It's called freedom. I come to Redemption House. I come to Freedom Fest. You think I'm going to be all bound up? Get it on, Joe. I had so much fun. I preached Jesus. I went through. I talked to about four more security guards. I thought, we're on a roll right now. They say, how you doing today, sir? I say, I'm doing amazing. They stop. They go, when you say, I'm doing amazing, they go, really? I went right up to the desk not long ago. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Mueller. How are you today? I said, ma'am, I don't know how I could possibly be better. Really? That's a rare response. And I just preach real quick. I don't have much time. There's people waiting. I'll tell you why it's a rare response, honey, because people got their eyes on the wrong things and the wrong reason why they're even here. Jesus changed my life forever. I hope he changed yours. You know him, don't you? I hope you know him, because he puts new purpose and new perspective in your life. I don't know how it could be better. Have a good day. Wow. Now she's just sitting there, and you say, well, what did that matter? Kingdom of God is if a man just scatter and see. I'm just scattering seed. I'm just scattering seed. And some are scattering seed. And then there's somebody else come along and they just... And guess what God's doing? He's bringing increase. And we all talking ourselves out of it. Well, that really didn't matter. Well, that really didn't mean much. We didn't really get a chance to say much. We didn't mean... Oh, the kingdom of God is if a man sows a seed so small, it's small as a mustard seed. But when it's sown, blink, it grows. I don't know how I could be doing better. Because I believe the gospel. Not my flight time, not the delay, not the cancellation, not the seat number. The gospel. Not whether there's room for my luggage or not. Not if I'm too close to the little Jiffy John. The gospel. How you doing? Oh, hanging in there, man. Just hoping my flight's on time. Just trying to make it. Hope I don't miss my connection. It's short. That's not how I'm doing. How you doing, man? Just glad to make it, dude. I didn't know I was in traffic. I hate traffic, man. And people, they get you so mad the way they drive. They're nuts, man. Have a good day. No, that's probably not how I'm doing either. Oh, I'm on it a little bit right now, ain't I?
That's good.
So how you doing? I don't know how I could be better, sir. Yeah. Ma'am, I don't know how I could be better, but thanks for asking. Yeah. I was going through an airport. They were doing this strip search thing for this guy. He's in a total body cast. He's stretched like a giraffe. He's standing there. I went by. I went, oh. I can't even tell you. I'd just seen a man, a pastor, 40 years old, who couldn't bend from birth. Couldn't bend past his kneecaps from birth. A congenital disorder in his spine and back and hips. And then he had 3 fusions, that's 6 vertebrae. Sealed the deal. Bored. We watched him with his palms on the carpet, crying and sobbing as his wife screamed, praising the Lord. And now I go into the airport and they got this man. And you think I'm going to walk by to my gate? They got the no crossing line. They got TSA agents. And I just said, oh. And I just ran over to, they said, ho, you can't. I said, I'm not coming in. I'm not violating anything. I can't not pray for this man. I've got to pray for him, sir. I don't know if you know Jesus, but I do. And he lives in me and he wants to touch you. I can't walk by you. My heart's hurting for you. Father, I thank you right now. Bam, bam, bam. Tears coming down my cheeks. That freaks people out. When you cry for somebody you've never met and still don't know their name, just crying. And then everybody's just froze. TSA lets me alone. Nobody does nothing. Boom. Why? Because of the position I'm in. Holy Spirit knows how to keep things back. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being obnoxious. I'm not trying to win the show. I'm just trying to pray for one guy that my heart broke for when I saw him. And I can't walk by. I just can't walk by. I just, Father, I thank you. And when they remove this apparatus and this metal, I thank you that he gloriously finds that your hand's been working and moving, and it ain't what he's been told. Bam, bam, I just prayed. It was so fun. I turned. I said, thank you, gentlemen. I started to go around the corner. God grabbed my arm. I said, uh-oh. Big old TSA dude. I thought, oh, man, they're taking me somewhere now. He got me by the arm. I looked. He's all emotional. He said, it's all good, sir. I just wanted to say thank you. He said, I'm actually a Christian man. I'm so convicted by your life and your boldness. What you just did there was so beautiful. Thank you for the example. God bless you, sir. Thank you, man. Not a joke. I turned the corner. I got a drink. I got a little vitamin water. I stopped to pay for it. And the lady heard my voice and she said, oh, she said, you're the man of God. I said, excuse me. She said, I heard you around the corner. She said, I was listening. I said, woo, that man is praying. I said, so tell me, what about you, honey? How can we pray for you? Wow, you know what I see? Bam, bam. Yeah, I see that. Give me your hand. No, it's okay. Jesus, fire! Ah! No, no, I didn't do that. Stop, stop. See, you like that too much. Just praying for you. Just going to the airport. Just getting to my gate. Just getting to my gate. Yeah. That sure beats being all cluttered up with stuff. Leaving where you're leaving, got worries, and I can't believe so-and-so said that. And why didn't she talk to me all weekend? I'm just feeling so put out. I quit living that way 24 years ago. I told you yesterday, my kids ran wild on me. My wife got caught up in identity crisis. I was living like a married single man for 8 years. People didn't know what was going on, but they didn't understand I was totally fine. Jesus never changes. And because I was totally fine and he kept me totally fine, he made everything totally fine. My family is doing great. But there was a season it looked like I didn't have a family. But I was never alone. I was never hurt. I was never frustrated. And I know it's possible because I myself walked through it. I'm not preaching you Shadrach's story. I'm not preaching you somebody else's story in the Bible. I'm preaching my own. That's why there's so much conviction. That's why you can tell I'm intense. Because I know I don't have to be lonely. Never am. Don't even know what that could possibly look like. Well, they've just so emotionally abused me. You can only emotionally abuse people that have no idea who they are. You go ahead and try to emotionally abuse me. You will get emotionally abused. Because I know who I am. I didn't wake up to receive something from you. I've received something from God and I've woke up to shine. I woke up to love you. I woke up to see you through his eyes. And whether you're coming or going, it doesn't change a thing. It just decides how I'll pray for you and the options of how I can love you. But I assure you, you won't frustrate me and I won't go to pray because I'm mad at you. I'll go to pray because I'm crying for you. Because I know if you knew who you were, you wouldn't be living the way you're living. And that won't frustrate me. That will cause mercy to rise up in my heart. Are you hearing me? You know how many people are praying because they're ticked off? You know how many people are praying for people getting knocked off their high horse? That's why they ain't got knocked off yet. Because your prayer ain't making it through the ceiling. It's just hitting the wall and falling down. Ain't no way that prayer is in a bowl of incense before the throne of God if it's not prayed in love and compassion for the sake of the person you're believing for. Just quit praying for your spouse if you're just praying because you're angry. Why don't you grow up and get a grip on your heart and grow out of anger into love and then pray your spouse and watch what God does for your spouse. If you're just praying for your spouse for a better day, if you're just praying for your spouse because you can't take no more, see, if you can't put your attitude in God and make it fit, that's when you know you're deceived. Wonder if God was fed up. Wonder if God looked in your direction and said, enough, that's enough. Wonder if he looked at Jesus and said, I'm telling you, if just one more time, just one more time. And then Jesus points and goes, oh, okay, that's it, done. Wonder if God took the initiative we've taken towards one another. Yeah. We'd have no hope in this room. No hope. So if I can't find it in the Father, who we, you know what the word Father means? You know what it means? Come forth from. So if we can't find it in the Father who we came forth from, then why should it be so prevalent and relevant in us? Maybe we ought to get born again. And I ain't talking about a prayer to go to heaven. I'm talking about new life through Jesus Christ. Listen, your identity can only be fulfilled in him. He's the only drink that will ever truly satisfy. It's nice when people are nice. The only power you have over my life is to encourage me. It's possible to encourage me even though I'm ridiculously encouraged. You can cheer that on. No, I'm serious. It's not wrong for you to say thank you for your time spent in the Word. Thank you for your prayer life. Thank you for your example. That's all cool. We know it's all by grace and no man has anything unless it's been given. So it's not wrong. I can receive that from you. But something you never have the power over is to slow me down, stop me, or stand me back. You have no. I have taken that privilege from you through the gospel a long time ago. It's why I love easy. It's why people don't bother me. It's why I'm not burned out. Do you know how many people pursued me and approached me yesterday? Do you know that I was holding my plate of food and couldn't even sit down because folks was just, hey, can I talk to you? Hey, one. I'm not mad at nobody. You can tell I wasn't mad. I'll stand there and just believe God. I can hold the plate and keep talking. But nonstop, all day, people sitting around me talking, hey, can we have a minute? Hey, can I? And I'm pulling away. And I love what I get to do. Ain't nobody saw me short with nobody, and nobody saw me like, look, could you just, like, chill? Doesn't even cross my mind. Why? I woke up to shine. And ain't nobody on this planet owes me a thing. You're not going to let me down or break my heart because I didn't put my expectation on you ever. I'm done being let down and hurt. I've been living this way 24 years. Time will tell if I'm telling the truth. I'll be okay on that day. Time will tell. But I'm telling you, it's possible. It's possible to have a pure motive. It's possible to wake up for one reason. His image, and walk in love, whatever that looks like in your day. And I'm telling you, church, that's the army he wants to rise up. That's the song we're singing, Army Rising Up. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. It ain't just singing some song, guys. It's becoming what he paid for. You can sing a song all day long, and if you keep the same attitude, you'll have the same stuff. We don't even realize how we set the table for the enemy to come. And God has flipped it and set a table for us in the presence of our enemies. So we probably ought to sit at the table prepared for us instead of preparing a table for the enemy. Paul said, don't be unaware of his devices and give him no place. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He says, nor give place to the... See, get resolved before the sun goes down. Don't sleep on that thing and wake up with a tainted heart. Don't get layered overnight. Don't get dull during your sleep. You just go to bed with unreconciled conflicts. You go to bed with tension in your marriage. Listen, it takes two to tango. It makes one to pursue peace. You say, well, my spouse doesn't, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Okay, stop pushing them. Don't preach at them. Just live Jesus. Just live Jesus. Love as many people as you can. Walk in the light and just stay at peace and stay filled with him and trust that your spouse gets convicted. So you say, well, my spouse gets freaked out at night and there's always tension in my home. It takes two to tango. You do not have to go to bed. The Bible says, keep peace with all men as much as depends on you. In other words, don't you get pulled into the animosity through insecurity or rationality. And a lady saying, I've heard this as a pastor, well, he's supposed to be the leader of this home. How come I have to always hold that thing? I shouldn't have to be leading this home spiritually. When is he ever going to take his place? And it sounds right because you're mixing scripture. But when isn't the ball in your hand? When aren't you called to live by the Spirit? When are you called to put Jesus down because he won't pick him up? When are you called to live outside of righteousness? When are you called to let one man decide your life and his name ain't Jesus? Come on, it's the gospel. Don't be afraid of it. It changes and saves your life. All this gospel hurts and affects is self-centered deception. You're going to let one person decide your disposition when the good tidings is great joy? Yeah. You're going to let one person's actions, because they're your covenant relationship. What about your covenant relationship? The one that never breaks and can't be broken. Yeah. Jesus is so intense. You say, brother, you're intense. No, no. I'm playing it cool. Jesus is intense. He just lets me just taste a little bit of his intensity. He's intense. He says stuff to the public like, call no man on earth your father. That doesn't mean you sinned in June when you mailed the card. Call no man on earth. You study out what he's saying. He's saying don't limit, regulate, and identify your life through natural, biological, hereditary means. Because you have one purpose, one created value, one intention in God. You have one Father, and he's in the beginning. He's in heaven. You have one Father from the beginning. He's in heaven. And how many of us have gotten tricked into letting our natural heritage decide our everyday life? And Jesus has covered all the bases. And all we got to do is live by faith and say, okay, I get this. I was born into a lie. I'm going to step into truth. I was raised in darkness, coming into the light. It's not people that are ever my enemy. It's lies that's my enemy. People are never my enemy. My war ain't flesh and blood. My war ain't flesh and blood. I got no issues with people. And I ain't living no lie no more. And if what I'm believing ain't producing life, then it ain't the truth. Because he came to give me life, and life more abundantly. Wow, this thing is simple. A kindergartner could get it. Unless I become like a little child, I won't get it because I'll think too much, think too deep, and I'll get deceived. I'm going after Jesus. That's it, right there. That's the gospel. Yeah. I'm fired up. I better read Colossians. I come down here every once, I just stay fresh. Colossians 2. You stay fresh every day. Every day you wake up, you have communion with him. Please don't wake up and come to church and haven't talked to him. Because you get tricked into letting church attendance take the place of knowing him. And then you'll listen to sermons about him, and your knowledge of him will convict you and never change you. And in time, that'll turn into condemnation. Don't just come to church and haven't been with him. Be with him. Eternal life is knowing him, not quoting his word. Eternal life is knowing him, not preaching a sermon. And knowing him is transforming. And if you don't know him, you can't love, because he is love. And we said it last night, if you don't have love, then we're missing the whole point of why he came. So you might really want to think about it. If you're touchy, you're going to be touched. So if you're living sensitive and hurt, self-conscious and insecure, say, whoa, warning, trap, deception. I'm still trying to find my identity, but I'm looking in the wrong places. Jesus isn't mad at me. I'm not condemned. He loves me. Time to come out of darkness into the light. I've been looking for me in the wrong places. I can only find him, me in him. We sang it. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. When I knew I lost me, you knew where I left me. Please, please don't come this far and pray a prayer for him to forgive your sins and stay in the place you were lost. Come out of that place. Come out of that place and come into the new land you were paid for to live in. Rent's paid. Paid in full. He paid the rent to move in. And he ain't gonna never leave and forsake me. I was a house fit for a king the whole time and didn't even know it. When I was younger, I was trying to get you to like me. And the whole time I was a house fit for a king, I was prime real estate worth the highest price. Could you imagine a realtor walking Jesus through the earth. He's looking for a home, and he points me out when I was in my deepest, darkest deception and self-centeredness. And Jesus really would have walked right by me. I'm slums. Come on. I'm the ghetto of the ghetto. Like, I'm slums. And Jesus stopped the realtor. Hey, I want to live there. You want to live there? Why would you want to live there? Well, obviously you don't see what I see. Well, that can't even be worth anything. Oh, it's worth a whole lot to me. Obviously you don't see what I see. All of a sudden he gets his little realtor book out and he says, oh, wait a minute. That's flesh and blood. It says here that it's going to cost flesh and blood to purchase that house. Already been paid before the foundation of the world. I was slain. My blood's already where it needs to be, speaking better things. I want to buy that out right there. And when I move in, everything's going to change. Woo! You see what's wrong with me? I actually believe what I preach. It's not a doctrine to me. It's not my theological study. In fact, I didn't even stay up late last night and read the scripture to prepare my sermon. I had no idea what I was going to say. Why? Because I'm just going to speak out of who he is in my life. You might not believe this, but not one time have I ever thought one time about what I was going to preach. I do conference. I do 6 sessions, 5 sessions in a weekend a lot of times. And I never even think about what I'm going to say. Why? Because I'm just going to talk about us. I'm going to be relevant, and it's going to come. And because I spend a lot of time in that word, the scripture's always there to back it up. You notice how I'm preaching it, just tying all in, and scriptures are just wrapping that thing so tight that after a while, an unbeliever or a fallen, backslidden man can't even say, yeah, but. When I preach on becoming loved, there ain't nobody sitting there going, well, yeah, but. They going. And some people going, ah! You should have seen how many people was crying yesterday at one session. I got on some stuff. I looked around. I said, man, there's more people crying than ain't crying right now. Something's happening in this room. Ah! It was dignified cries. You weren't even like, you were just. It was fun. I was like, God, you're doing something. Means your heart's alive, moving, convicting. Don't ever get bummed. Don't ever live from the problem. Don't ever leave here and say, boy, I got a long way to go. No, you leave here, I got somewhere to go. I got direction. I got light on the trail. I ain't in the darkness no more. I figured this out today when that man was preaching. I've been my own worst enemy. It ain't people. It's me, insecurity. Jesus is more than that to me. I need to receive him more. It ain't, boy, I don't even know if I'm barely saved, brother. People come up to me and say, man, you sure stepped on my toes. I said, that's a shame because I wasn't even stepping on them. I wasn't even trying to step on your toes. Well, you stepped on my toes. I should have wore steel shoes, brother. Why? To defend yourself from truth? I ain't stepping on nobody's toes. I'm just crying out with compassion who you are and what he paid for and what's been from the beginning. And let's not preach a piece of the puzzle. Let's let this picture be so beautiful. You know what fullness means in the Bible when it says a man that knows the love of Christ will be filled with all the fullness of God? You know what the word fullness means? It means a house with no empty rooms. That means there's no vacancy. It's been fulfilled to where there's no occupancy for anything else to rest. House with no empty rooms. Watch. A town with no empty houses. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Watch. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know which passes knowledge is to be filled with all his fullness. Now I can read this and close out and quit. You guys are amazing how nobody even thinks about time around here. It's the only place in America. No, it is. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I do 40.
Yeah,
I do 45 weekends a year for how many years now? Add it up. That's a lot of places. If you pulled out a map and I just red dotted everywhere I've been to a lot of places. You're the only place that I'm aware of in this country that is absolutely oblivious to time. Oblivious. Which tells me it can be done. It's like it can be done, but it's like there's a sweet grace over the whole mentality. That was you. That was my impersonation of you. She said yesterday, she said, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm gonna get so snookered. She said, I've been so busy today. Tomorrow I'm just gonna come and get snookered. I thought she was living snookered. I thought, oh no, she's gonna get worse. I was up praying for you all night. God. I'll read Colossians 2 and we'll finish. I know we haven't done a lot of praying for a lot of things this weekend. It's just okay sometimes. Sometimes God just wants to teach your heart and call you into Him. Yeah? Because watch this, no matter what you're going through, even if you have a symptom, a situation, even though if you have a loved one, even if you have a financial thing, these truths you heard all weekend are the only thing that if you apply them that are going to walk you through all of our challenges and trials in the right way. Because if you don't get established in this thing we're preaching, what happens if your spouse is in identity crisis for 8 years? Wonder if your kids run wild and you don't have this truth as your foundation. And now because your kids run wild, you fall apart, freak out, lose your identity and call it prayer. I better quit. You're right. Colossians 2, I really do want to read this. But now I won't have to preach it because I already did. So you can relax. We're done. I'm just going to read it and you go, I get that. See? I just did it backwards. I usually do because I know where I'm turning. I know what it says and I get all excited and I preach the whole thing out before we read it. So now we read it, we'll be done. Verse 6, Colossians 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How'd you receive Him? By faith. By faith. Who here, you know you're going to heaven when Jesus comes back? Who knows you're going to heaven? How do you know? But how do you know? Come on, how do you really know, though? Like, who believes God loves them? I mean, you really believe God loves you. How do you know? But you ain't never even met Him. You weren't even here when Jesus lived. I mean, how do you know? You guys are good. I don't make a good devil, really. Watch. As you've received Him, so that means Christianity has a walk, not just a talk, has an expression, not just a confession. As you've received Him, so yeah, that means there's a lot of purpose in being born again. Well, Paul wouldn't say walk in a manner worthy of Him. Man, you guys getting this? As you received Him, so walk in Him. Here's the answer. Rooted and built up in Him. Built up in who? Look, I understand we can encourage one another. I think Christian love and family is amazing. We're not putting any of this thing down. But if you're only looking to be built up in one another, that's probably why you're not being built up. And you're always setting people up to hurt, fail, and let you down. And the people you depend on are on thin ice. Come on. You know how many people said, well, this is my best friend? And they don't even talk. No more. That's because this best friend thing wasn't healthy from the get. You know how people said, I love you and had three children together? And are sure they hate each other today? Because it was never love. It was need. And needs changed. Emotions changed. And I don't think I love you anymore. Well, you ought to be glad God doesn't have that capacity. And if he made us in his image and the things he does will do, we probably ain't supposed to have that capacity. Maybe we were trained in another school and camp. And maybe we thought that's normal. But maybe that was when we were living for ourselves instead of born again in his image. Maybe we got some counterproductive homeschool lessons in the wrong home. Be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. Unfortunately, not everybody's being taught this, but Paul's encouraging it, so I let her fly. They gave me a mic, green light. You see how scriptural I am this morning? Paul's saying, as you've been taught. As a leader, I'm accountable to make sure you're taught the things he's expecting you were taught. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. If you look in your Bible, you'll notice he throws that on the back of a lot of verses, end with thanksgiving. Why? When you lose your thanksgiving, it's a warning signal. You've internalized your situation and you've taken it personal, and that self-focus is rising back up. When you lose your thanksgiving, it's become all about you and how you feel and what you're thinking in the moment. Come on. That's why he attaches thanksgiving on the back of a lot of scripture. When you lose your thanksgiving, it's a warning that you got your eyes on other things that are affecting your personal life and feelings. And with thanksgiving. Beware. That's a warning. Beware. Come on. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Some translations say rob you. Some say take you plunder. Some say hold you captive. There's probably all those out here in the congregation, those translations. Beware lest any man cheat you, rob you, hold you captive, or take you plunder. Through philosophy. Empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, watch, and not according to Christ. Why? Because if you're going to be built up in him, then you have to be thinking through him, not according to the ways of the world. Are you hearing? This is some of the most powerful sections of scripture right here because it teaches us who we've always been. We just haven't realized it. For in him, watch, this is the punchline. For in him dwells all the fullness, house with no empty rooms, all the fullness of God. In him. Where's all the fullness of God? In him. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, it's in him. That's all the fullness of all that God is. And look at verse 10. Here it is. I got it all rainbowed in my Bible. And you are, not were, not going to be. You are. This is where faith comes in. This is how you received him. You got to walk in him, build up in him, because you are complete in him. But if you believe those other philosophy, based appearance of the world, traditions of man, way that seemeth right to man. Yeah, but you know, brother, I just don't feel all that accepted. I mean, sometimes I just don't feel like God really loves me. I'm going to go up and have somebody pray and just ask God to just cover me again fresh with his love. Stop it. That is not an altar call. You're feeding deception. And you're living out of sensuality, experiences, and feelings, and you'll never get established in faith. So when you're feeling it, you're feeling it. But when you're not, you're not. That's deep. You believe his love.